This is a production of Cornell University.
EA meeting, January 5th,
2011.
Thanks everyone for coming today, by the way. Let's see, any late additions to the agenda? Other than Beth, you said two things, the cell phone.
And also it's a new business. The cell phone's a new business, but maybe they're both old business, and the care fund.
The care fund. Okay, so we'll jump right into business of the day, the charter change resolution. I hope everyone had an opportunity to take a look at that. Did anyone have any comments on the language of the resolution? Anything they want to talk about? I had one comment from Linda. That said, one change that she thought we could make in the resolution, and if people don't have it in front of them,
somewhere.
David's got some comments.
I'm sorry. Yep.
The fourth whereas, under the fourth whereas, she suggested that we remove not significantly affect and change it to improve. So the statement would read, whereas the Assembly believes that such a change would improve its ability to represent the diverse opinions and viewpoints of the campus community. She just thought that that would put it in a more positive frame of mind as opposed to a negative.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
Does having the different number of people change what a quorum is?
It will, yes.
What would the quorum be?
It would still be two, no. Quorum is the majority of the seated members, so we'd have to have
10.
If we had full membership.
If we had full membership of 19, we'd have to have 10 people.
Okay.
Any other thoughts, questions, discussion? Are we finally going to do this? I know, right? We need words to stop it. All right, does anyone want to make a motion? I'll make a motion that we approve the resolution with the slight wording change, removing non-significantly affect and changing it to improve. Anyone second? All in favor?
Aye.
Is that everything? Right, and I've got all affirmative from 5 people who should have 10. So we're good. We pass.
Woohoo. Now what?
Now what? Now it's time to go home. We're done. So, moving along, I just want to talk about the climate survey that Mary had brought up at our last meeting with her and just talk a little bit more about that. She had suggested that it would be great if the EA would offer some buy-in to that and maybe put forth something that would encourage upper leadership to support a climate survey, and I just wanted to see how people felt about that. What
would that look like? Would it be a resolution?
Mm-hmm.
Does it really warrant a resolution?
Isn't the climate survey kind of stuck, lost?
Right, it's stuck and it's lost. And my sense from what she was saying, and I think what she said in our meeting with her, is that it needs some buy-in and it needs some sense that someone will actually do something with it. Right, did you guys get that same?
Like they want us to take it over? Or just
no.
No, not take it over, but to say that, you know, as employees, we feel that the climate for employees is bad enough to warrant a survey and some exercise in getting things to be better.
But why?
Because we're supposed to represent employees, and we're asking for a climate survey on the climate for employees.
And we were talking about
I just remember from my
I was reading the minutes, and I remember when I sort of questioned it, it was like, what's the hesitation? And at least what I got from her, the hesitation is because of buying from the top. So I guess I was getting a response. Like, my idea,
right.
initial idea was, it wasn't so much, because we're not top.
Right.
Still. And so maybe this is something that we should, or I would see that be a President Scorton kind of thing. I mean, even though a resolution...
You would help hit President Scorton, push him
push
along.
It, right.
Theoretically, but I guess before we move to resolution, I was just willing to see what his opinion is.
Well, I think that when he first came on board, if I remember, he was up in the war, he was interested in having a climate survey help. So he probably, my guess is that he probably still is, but I heard the same thing that you heard, which was that it makes climate worse if after you do a survey, then everybody says, we're not going to do anything about that. That Mary wants us to buy in from the top, the next, her colleagues.
Yeah.
Right. About, yes, we will actually pay attention to what the results of the survey are. And that then the EA provides sort of that leverage to those other VPs that yeah, we get to close this off. Another one of those
HR ideas. I don't think those two things are mutually exclusive. I mean,
right.
We need both. You need the support of the staff and you need the support of the,
yeah.
the leadership.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess my only question was, I'd rather see what their opinions are before it happens. Because I think if we pass a resolution and they're not interested, it just kind of takes away some of our power and social capital in the process. But if they're already kind of on board, but they was like, oh, we forgot about the social mm-hmm. climate survey because of the current economic condition, then I think we might be the reminder to push it forward, and I think we'll build our social capital. But I'd just rather hear...
So, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I think it's in the strategic plan. I think that there is a piece of the strategic plan that says that there will be a climate survey, which means in the next 5 years. If we're saying we want to do it now, then that just pushes the agenda.
So do we make a recommendation? Would a recommendation feel better, or is the recommendation just another slightly different wording for resolution?
Well, he would definitely have to address the resolution one way or the other.
And I think that...
The resolution is a public document,
right.
So...
They're not that hard to have. You know, it's got to be one page of a bunch of whereases.
A bunch of whereases.
And to be at their point resolved.
Yeah, right.
Is there a way to ask the president to do the ask?
Yeah.
And say, hey, send him an email. The EA was wondering where you stand on the future. I don't know if the EA does that sort of thing or not.
I haven't. I don't know if Jason and David have been there.
What? What was the question?
Have you guys made asks to the president in the past? Just like a question? What's your plan for
this survey that's included in the strategic plan?
And we're thinking about passing a resolution. I mean, I guess if we just be open, but I just feel like the less in the dark he is about something, and he might already have something in plan, and then we won't need it. The resolution might be different then, but I guess I would like to just to see what they're thinking before we pass the resolution.
Why?
Well, because I think resolutions is our only form of power, and so I'm just really wary about using that power without necessarily knowing all the...
Well,
go ahead, Ari.
I was going to say, you can write a resolution that's just a request,
mm-hmm.
and if you're concerned about it, you mean... too harsh, just put something in there to mm-hmm. make it clear that
I mean that's
I
right.
acknowledge exactly what Mary said about it. No, I forget the
yeah, she asked us to offer our opinion on it.
I can write him if you want. I'll just send him an email.
I'm just curious to know what
do you want to do that before we go through the trouble of the resolution?
I mean, I think, like, with the student assemblies, they've been putting out resolutions like, okay, let's stop having bottled water on campus. Let's put soap in the bathroom. So they've, you know, put out resolutions on all kinds of different things, and it doesn't mean it happens. It just is really a request for him to look at it.
Which is what you want.
Right.
If this is something that we think is important that happens, then I think we should pass a resolution about it and say that we think it's important. Mm-hmm. Whether David Gordon thinks it's important or not, it's
important.
What he thinks, it's what we think.
But I think the idea is about getting it done. So if President Gordon doesn't think it's important,
then he's going to say, thank you, but that's not a priority at this time, or whatever.
Hopefully what he'll say is, you know what, yep, I do think it's time, because it will be a while before they go mm-hmm. from restarting the project to actually sending it out.
No, I think it's great. I just want to hear what their opinions are before we pass the rest. The thing I heard Mary Opperman concerned was buy-in.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're trying to make sure there's buy-in, I don't know if there's not buy-in, there is buy-in, and before we buy into it, I think we should first hear what the other people at the table are.
Well, I think we're asking him to buy in. Right?
Or see if he's already bought in.
It's in strategic plan. If it is.
I don't know.
We can do some research and determine that and then bring it back at our next meeting.
Okay. We'll do that and I'll ask Mary if David has given any opinion either way on what he feels about the climate survey. Leslie, do you want to talk about the rotation program?
Yeah, let me just write myself a note.
Okay.
So, Tanya and I met with Kathy Berggren right before a break on a very snowy morning. It's snowy Monday morning, very early. And we talked with her about two things. The one I'm going to talk about is this program called the Rotation Program. You look like you're familiar with it.
Mm-hmm.
It has not been widely publicized, but any staff member at Cornell is eligible to participate. What it does is it provides staff an opportunity to identify goals, professional goals, that they want to achieve, and then to figure out how that's going to happen. And often there may be a goal that cannot happen within their current job. And so then you work with your supervisor to identify another place where you might be able to develop those skills that would be open to having you working with them. And so you go through the performance dialogue process, and then there are some other forms that have to be printed out. The one in particular is called the Individual Development Plan. It's pretty short. It asks you to identify strengths you'd like to utilize that are not currently part of your position description, career goals, aspirations, and dreams, what skills, education, experiences, or assistance will you need to accomplish your short and long-term goals, and then develop an action plan around that. And so it's essentially a job rotation. So you could be working in another office for one day a week or for half a week or, you know, whatever it ends up working out for your particular plan, because it would be individual. The way that Kathy described it, almost everybody in her office is doing it. And if they're not, they're doing something else that's professional development related. And it was kind of cool to hear that, wow, there is an office at Cornell where professional development is happening and it's encouraged, and yay! But, so anyway, that's the gist of the plan. She said it's best to do it without money changing hands, especially if you're going across endowed to state or state to endowed. So if you continue to be paid by your office, but you're giving some of your time to another office, instead of being paid by the other office. The other thing is that it's not something, if an office has a need, like they identify that there's somebody who's retiring in the next 6 months, and they want to have somebody come in and learn that job, they can't advertise it. Legally, they can't advertise it. So it has to be a word of mouth kind of publicity. But those positions are out there. And then there are also other opportunities for just learning about a new job skill.
Does that mean that let's say somebody wants to learn how to be a wellness director, I might get a phone call and say, can so-and-so spend 2 hours a week with you?
Okay. And you could say no. But it would be, it's not just following you around, it's actually doing work and getting professional development through that. So it's, it would be work for you as the supervisor in addition to what the other person is
doing. Yeah, it could be a win-win.
Exactly.
It's a commitment.
It is.
From both.
It is.
Yep. And what could be interesting is you can create a domino effect in that if you're saying, okay, I'm giving this person essentially a day's worth of my work, I can now go do some other professional development that will take up that other bit of my time so that you're getting an opportunity as well to grow elsewhere. So it kind of can give multiple people opportunities.
We thought one of the things she suggested was that we get a list of what some units are doing. So facilities has they already have a list of everybody who's been doing it, and so we could get a feel for what folks are doing, and HR is now in the process of rolling it out for them. And so that is information that we could have that we could then share with other people.
Is there a formal description of this that exists, or is this...
There is information about it on the organization development website.
Okay.
People should know about that.
Yeah.
That's right.
I'd like to see that because I could see resistance from supervisor if it's not related to your job position.
And right. What's in it for us?
And it is. I want to study outdoor recreation.
And it is all the discretion of your supervisor, and Kathy is very clear about that. And she also said that, you know, you have to be that motivated person, and it may be that you're still having to do your 39 hours of your regular job, and then you're taking this on top of it. But if it's something that you really want and it's your personal development, you may be willing to do that. And there are people who are willing to do that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. So. A blurb, or once we get more information, can go in the EA newsletter.
Mm-hmm. I've never heard of this. How long has this program been going?
I don't think it's super old.
Facilities does it, and they do it really formally, but I don't, and like organizational behavior is doing it, but so like an HR area, but I don't know that like arts and sciences are doing it or engineering is doing it in that kind of way. So.
Would that be a good thing for, like, staff notes video? Somebody who...
Oh, somebody that's doing it.
Already?
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I'm sure one of the people up in Kathy's office would be doing it.
The administrator.
Yeah. Carla?
Carla. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Half of her time.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is that this could lead to a totally different new career?
Yes. And she described a situation where someone turned down an opportunity to do a rotation, and then the job that was the rotation came open, and that person applied for it and didn't get it. And if that person had done the rotation, would have been the perfect person for the job. So, yeah, I mean, it's also a way to help people move around.
And do some succession planning and that.
Yeah. It's not about moving up. It's about moving across.
Yeah.
I know.
I wonder, though, since it's some, you know, I'm saying advantages from other people who have more than supervisors or something like that, then it's almost a disadvantage, especially if they're looking to, you know, fill positions or somebody retiring or something like that. Well, you had said, like if somebody was retiring, it's almost like a word of mouth thing. So somebody might, a supervisor might say, I have this perfect person who, you know, would fit nicely in this position, but there may be another perfect person because my supervisor is not doing it, you know.
Right.
Also, speaking from personal experience, it would be nice to inform people who may be coming up to layoff notice that they have that option to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something, there are lots and lots of opportunities for people that are not, I don't think a lot of folks in the know exist. So it'd be really nice to do an educational campaign if it could.
Well, and that's why
we
wanted to bring it here, to start the
really
conversation.
There's now Maria Wolf, who now works with like career professional development. And I think just, and this might be a new business topic, but maybe us trying to sponsor a career development type of forum or something.
I think that would be actually very well received. From my own experience with the SEED program last summer, I think people, staff are really hungry for that.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe we could have Maria come in, Maria or Judy come in and talk to us about the school. And
also
the
mentality
would be another one.
Well, and we could encourage them, you know, that we would support if they wanted to do an open forum, like something in G10 Biotech or something, to talk about that kind of opportunity that we can help publicize it for them.
Is it Judy Hart?
Mm-hmm.
Judy Hart, yes.
If you go to conference, could cover the forum, have an article on that, find some success stories of people.
The annual SPEEP forum, which is the staff educational something, it's an annual event that Human Resources puts on, and it's kind of like a place, it's an event to introduce staff to various educational opportunities, and career development is part of it. But it's so big that I think something smaller and more sort of focused, less on education, more on career, I think would be a great book. And like Career at Cornell.
Right,
that's right. The other one is more broader.
And I think the biggest thing that we need to get out to staff members too is that and this is what Kathy was saying, it all really starts with your performance dialogue and your individual development plan, because you really need to be pushing your supervisor to, because they're the one out there with that, you know, network who can say, oh, I heard this is happening over there, and try and help you out with that.
I wonder if there's limits on this, though. I mean, what if my goal is to be the vice president of HR someday? Do I get to shadow Mary for 2 days a week or what?
I don't think there's nothing specific, but I would say, you know, they would say to you, okay, the first thing you're going to do is shadow an HR person. You're not going to shadow Mary. You're going to shadow an HR person if you want to get into HR, kind of thing.
So it might be my department.
Right. So you may work with the person in your department, and then you may work with the college person, and then you know.
Mm-hmm.
You can do a day. Hire you.
I do want to do it. I think it'd be
awesome.
And you can come in and we'll thrill you.
All right. I'm thinking outdoor recreation. Spring. Sounds awesome.
So yeah. So if you want to check out those links there on the organizational development page. I thought it was an interesting conversation with you.
It was. Yep.
I don't think there's anything else. But.
No, I mean, she updated us on the work that they're trying to do with all the vice presidents and deans around work realignment, which is not what it's called, but I forget what it's called.
Workflow reduction or something.
And they are planning this month and in February to meet with all of the vice presidents and their direct reports. To talk about what are their needs, how can they help, and identify the things that they can do on their own and the things that Kathy's staff can help them implement.
And which department is Kathy? What's her?
She works for human resources.
Organizational behavior.
The leadership development, the HowCraft leadership development program.
Yeah, okay.
That
organizational effectiveness.
Yeah, something like that. So she works for Chris. So that it was a good conversation.
Mm-hmm. And she also encouraged that if there are departments, so if you know of people in units who are really struggling, they are very willing and ready to come out to units and look at them, but they have to be asked. Because right now they're starting at the top and they're trickling down. But if there's a unit that says, come and look at us because we're ready to be looked at, they'll come in and do that, and they're well prepared. So, anything else on that? Elections chair. So let's see. Jason, Curtis, Leslie, or Gary. This conversation can only be for you guys. But somebody needs to step up and be the elections chair. Well, only you guys who are in the room right now.
I'll be happy to be a shadow chair, but since I've never done it before, I think that would Nobody will ever. I've never been on. I know you've been present. I mean, you went through a cycle, but
I'm doing a rotation.
Yes, I'm doing. I'm definitely for next year. The election process really has interest.
Here's the thing that I can tell you. I did it last year, and it's not as bad. Essentially, no, it's not,
you might think.
No, it's not as bad as you might think. Yes.
Our office helps a lot.
Yes, Amy and Ari do a lot. And essentially, what it is that you hold a meeting for candidates, and it's pretty informal. I think you came to the meeting that I did, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
And Catherine, but it's just an opportunity for people to kind of come in and ask questions. You, what else? Make sure that the calendar of dates when paper is due and all that kind of stuff looks good. You make sure that people are running. So, what else?
Probably work with the communication.
Yeah, so they'd work with you on kind of publicity and that sort of thing. But there's really not.
Our office does the bulk of it. You just have to be the outface of it all.
So I got, you know, people who would call and ask questions and say, so what does it mean if I run, or what does it mean, how much time, what do I have to do, that kind of thing.
Mm. So when's the time period?
It's in spring. Usually elections are in April.
So after starting March?
Probably somewhere around there we'll start advertising it and that sort of thing. I mean, we'll want to, and this will be a collective effort of everyone, but we'll want to get out to and get some face time out there with units across campus just to encourage people to run more than we have in the past, because we have more seats now. But that would be a group effort from everyone.
Well, and once the resolution moves up to President's mm-hmm. office, then we need to start now informing people about
right. But that's primarily going to be communications.
Right.
Think about it. I won't put you on the spot right this second.
No, I really like that idea. Okay.
I would be happy to help you.
There, you could be the chair.
I could be your back.
No, I'm just worried about the time, because you know I do admissions now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what the time is.
It's not a huge time drain. Like I said, Amy.
A few emails and phone calls and a few meetings. Definitely not overwhelming.
I think I heard Percy. I heard it too.
You
do? I probably can't.
Okay.
You do know me.
I'll email you. Okay.
I'm going to write your name down with a question mark.
Let's see, report from the chair. I forgot to send everyone an email with the name of Linda D'Amato. She is willing to be the Transportation Advisory Committee second person.
Okay.
So, unless anyone has any objections, she'll join David.
I'm trying to remember what happened at the last meeting.
You didn't have a meeting. That was canceled.
She just volunteered?
She was the one who had written in a question about transportation stuff, and I wrote back and said, maybe she'd be interested in being on this committee, and then she can be involved. So she had a talk with her supervisor and came back that she could. So
once a month at lunches.
Yeah.
Small time.
So she's on board to do that. So I will add her to that.
Do you know when the next one is? Isn't it like the third Wednesday?
Yeah, it's like the whatever the middle Wednesday of January is when it will be. The 12th, maybe.
They would have it before our students and faculty came back.
I don't know. I have the dates.
As soon as I get the next email, I'll let you know.
Yeah, please. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Leslie and Beth and I met with Mary before the holidays, so I got to try to remember back what she talked about. But we talked a little bit about what we talked with Kathy about and kind of just job openings on campus. Can we talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, the internal versus the external.
Right,
the interesting.
Right.
So there are some jobs that get posted internally and don't get posted immediately externally, and those jobs are waived.
They're waived.
And that means that they don't have to be posted externally, but they tend to be eventually anyway because so few people are applying internally. And so then they open it up externally, and then the internal people get pushed out. because there's so many people in the country right now who are looking for jobs who are so highly qualified that it tends
that we're getting some amazing people once it gets posted outside.
I'm going to keep saying so few, but if there's three really good candidates that are internal, I don't buy it. From personal experience.
Right.
And it would seem like, and again, I think it's a cultural issue about what HR values, what Cornell values as employees. And you might have sort of tangential conversations about that, about once you get hired, it seems like if you apply or want to transfer to something else from a university, you kind of become old news.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I don't have anything, I mean, it's in principle, I can get why the university wants to continue to refresh itself. I think in some ways that's good practice, organizationally speaking. But as you're saying, on the other hand, we already have, you know, what we're considered talented people to begin with. Why are we not encouraging more internal, you know?
Well, and I think we have some internal people who are misplaced and who would be, who would be more successful in other jobs.
Right,
and aren't getting those opportunities.
Absolutely. Because they may be lacking, say, in a year or two of experience or whatever the case might be, and so it would be benevolent of the organization to figure out ways to cultivate that, maybe not for that particular position, but maybe with the idea that, anyway.
Well, and Mary's response to that is the rotation program is one way to start cultivating that.
And there's also when Workday comes, I was talking with her about the fact that Corning has a program where you put in essentially all your data and supervisors can put in keywords for what they're looking for and start looking at people across campus to move them. And that's something that she said will come about with Workday.
Oh, okay.
So, for right now.
Actually, what I heard her say was could come
about. Could come about.
I didn't hear a commitment to will come about.
Okay.
Did you?
I'm like.
No? Okay.
Internal headhunting.
I mean, with that said, there's also, you know, job sharing, and you know that there's. It seems like if you really did want to tap into the internal talent pool, you could come up with all kinds of really creative ways of actually having jobs being done. You could have two people for one position. You know, both really want to do a part time. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it seems like in that process actually would be actually lead to more interesting, creative, a learning community sort of model that she actually herself attracted to.
I think that was all we really talked a little bit about the climate survey stuff. But I think that was. I don't.
I know, it was before break.
Cool, I kind of.
It was. At least. And I didn't take any notes.
I did, but I think we covered what we talked about. Do you have anything for your report from the vice chair?
I already gave it. The rotation stuff was what I have written down.
Okay. All right. You want to take a look at the minutes?
Do I have your own copy of the minutes?
No, there's just a whole bunch of copies.
Oh, all right.
Yes. That's my only copy, so don't leave them. Am I giving them back to you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So everybody can just read and they give back.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This is David.
Are you passing us the letter?
Yeah.
That was really nice.
I've already seen it.
I got
mine. I've already seen mine.
No, it's the same letter. It's just a different person's name at the top.
So did everybody get a cop tie?
No, my boss
doesn't
know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I got a gift certificate.
Wow.
You did?
I got a gift certificate?
Yeah, my boss.
Oh, I'm
going to
have to
tell
about that.
You know, can we put a kudos to Curtis's boss? All right, so I guess if we just want to pass them around then or whatever, you have to give that back. If anybody has read it, I just need to give it back.
Can you notice that the signatures were a little bit different on each one? He actually signed these himself.
Thanks for it.
Yeah.
I was wondering, does the president have one of those
A pen?
That pen writing machine?
Holds a pen, but
yeah,
it's only for like the, you know, 900 letters stuff.
Okay.
For stuff like this, he's going to.
Did we approve of it?
No, not yet. I just sidebarred. What? Yeah, I sidebarred for a second. Sorry. Anyone? Does anybody have any comments on the minutes, changes? Leslie's, everybody's name spelled right, and everybody was
no,
here who was
Keely's
here.
No, Keely's name was spelled incorrectly a couple times, but I fixed it. So.
Let me look at it for spelling.
Second L just doesn't always fit there.
I didn't find anything.
All right. Anyone else have any comments to the minutes? If not, does anybody want to make a motion? All in favor? Great. Minutes approved. Staff Recognitions and Awards Committee, Amy just put on everyone's calendar yesterday that there is a recognition ceremony next Wednesday from 3 to 4:30 in Morrison?
Mud Hall.
In Mud Hall.
I don't even know.
Coarse mud.
Yeah.
They call it Healy Mud. Is there a difference?
Is Healy Mud the name of the person? His name is Healy J. Mud or something.
Oh, okay.
And that Mud Hall's on one side and Corson's on the other.
Oh, it's like Robert Kennedy type thing. They're different. Okay.
Eternal.
So hopefully people will be able to join us for that. It's a reception for
campsite. If you want to know, call me.
So hopefully people can join us there. Nice little celebration, and we're working on dates for the celebration for the second one. Chris isn't around, so I can't. But that's next.
There'll be another one soon to come.
Hopefully soon to come. And we've got a bunch more nominations in for the spring, so we'll meet soon to look at those. And I did have one question come up, and maybe Ari or Amy can answer this. What if somebody's retired?
Well, if the department's still willing to do it, go ahead and do it. Absolutely.
Okay. I just wasn't sure. Mm-hmm. Because they sent in their thing, and she was retiring like 2 weeks later. Okay. So I said, well, we can't do anything right at this moment.
So if Crawford does an article on this, do you all know who that article should be paid by? What's the normal process? Anybody?
On who gets
it? Have you ever been asked to for that?
I never did that before.
She attended to
probably For the award next week.
The award, probably the supervisor?
Yeah, I would say the supervisor.
Because mostly you want to check any facts.
Facts, yeah. Or the nominator.
Yeah.
And I can give you that information. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Old business, extramural study.
So I had a conversation with Deb Phillips in Human Resources, mm-hmm. About the extramural study process for staff. And because they're implementing Workday right now, they're not able to focus on it. But come February, she is meeting with Continuing Education to discuss making the process electronic. And Workday will help facilitate that. She had already been preempted by Mary because we had talked with Mary about it. So we didn't even really have a conversation. She just said, "This is what's happening." I said, "Okay, great." So I'll follow up with her again after the fact to see where they are.
And then I'm going to talk about cell phone or care fund or.
I can do both.
Okay.
For now, I've placed myself on this committee, but I want to let you know that a policy revision committee has been formed, and I just want to read you this. It's about cell phones, and I would love if anybody is as enthusiastic or more enthusiastic than me to take over my appointment to this committee. From Cindy Jefferson, who's from, I don't know where she's from, purchasing. Hello all, I'm the new director of strategic sourcing, working for Tom Romantic in supply management services. As I'm sure you're aware, SMS is working on the procurement initiative as part of Reimagining Cornell and the administrative streamlining program. And we have the objective to save $30 to $40 million by the end of 2014. We have split our activities into two phases. Phase one are savings projects that will not create a lot of change for our campus customers. And phase two saving projects will require more of a culture and behavior change to achieve these savings.
So we're going to pave the road and drive over the yes.
Let's see, this came in. This came right before the break. Yesterday, Tom and I had a meeting with the initiative sponsors, who are Joanne DiStefano, Joe Thomas, and Jan Nyrop, and presented a project which could potentially save the university $500,000 a year. The sponsors gave us the green light to go forward to pursue the savings. However, one of the key requirements for implementation is to review our current personal communication device policy, number 3.24, and update it given recent changes in the IRS law. As an aside, the IRS law makes some sort of change that makes it easier to use a personal phone for business, and they don't care how it's used, and maybe reporting is different. I don't know any more about it.
Can you write off your personal phone? Is that what you're saying?
I have no idea. Additionally, there will be changes in our phone contract as well as how we pay our phone bills going forward. The initiative sponsors recommended you as key individuals to help sort through updating the policy and develop any potential solutions and obstacles to implementation. And it's expected that it may take 3 or 4 one-hour meetings to complete the task. The first meeting has been arranged. It's the week of January 17th, and that is all I know. But I think I might have brought up cell phones at a previous EA meeting, and the reason why I got this letter in the first place was because I called Glenn Morey, who works in purchasing, and he told me he was just finalizing a new and better contract with Verizon. I don't know what it is.
Well, right now, if you have Verizon, you could get a discount on your...
That is correct.
It would be a better... We're trying to get
but
a better
he's working
discount.
On a better one. And so
iPhone's coming. Oh, I'm switching.
Well, I said, I hope it includes smartphones. But he didn't say whether it did or not. He kind of implied maybe it was, so I can't confirm that. But I think this can affect a lot of employees, either business-wise or personal-wise, and I think it's appropriate for someone from the EA to be on it. So I'm just going to throw it out there. If anybody wants to be on the committee, she knows that I might replace myself with someone else. Otherwise, I will be on the committee, and I'm happy to do it.
Thank you, Beth.
Does anybody want to be on that committee?
I could be interested. And it's if you feel like you need to be off the committee, you'd want somebody, or if you have someone, you will, or...
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm enthusiastic about it, but...
You can put me on standby.
Okay.
Because, I mean, I'm interested in it. I mean, I've been involved in this sort of issue for my years at Cornell. And I've just got to the point where I pay for my own phone. But there are times when things like, you know, I don't have a text messaging plan, for instance. And sometimes if one of our data centers goes offline and I get bombarded with 200 text messages, I then start getting, I can have like a $20 or $30 extra bill on my phone. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, well, should I submit that as an expense? And I was like, it's almost not worth it, but, you know. And like in my department, we even talk like, well, maybe we would pay, the department would pay for the $15 it would take for an unlimited text plan or something for your account. You know, so.
So I will contact you separately, and we'll figure out who does what.
Okay.
Great.
Do we have to stop meeting if we're two people?
No.
Gary will need to stop us still here.
Okay. So that was a question for you, actually.
No, we couldn't. Vote on anything.
Okay.
We can meet, we just can't vote on anything.
No major changes.
We won't be able to adjourn. We'll just have to choose to leave.
Do you want to talk about the CARE Fund?
Yes, the CARE Fund took a step. So as a reminder, the Emergency Grant Fund used to be owned by the Employee Assembly and switched to Workforce Diversity and Inclusion in HR unit. And what happened after that was that I volunteered to be the chair of the committee, even though everything has to still be approved by Lynette Chappelle-Williams. The committee consists of Linda Crowe Howell, Michelle Arterby, myself, Gemma as an EA representative, Connie Park at the Vet College, and I'm recruiting one faculty member. We, by design, we rewrote the entire thing, and it underwent about 20 revisions. I would say renovations. And it finally got approved this morning, which is why I called to say I had an update. So the document has been rewritten. It models a lot of what universities are doing for emergency funds for employees in crisis. And the most important thing is that we upped the amount to $2,000. And we actually had it, while it was in limbo before it got approved, someone applied for the old one, which was $1,000. And we were able to grant her the $2,000. And that employee was just overcome on the phone, and anyway, it was extremely helpful. She had a massive crisis in her life, and so that's where we are. You're going to start seeing it being posted. It's not posted anywhere yet, but it will be posted on the web, and we're going to send you the link so that the EA webpage can post to it as well. And in the bylaws or the rules that we set up, there's a requirement that we report annually to the EA, annually. Mm-hmm.
You should get a notice to
prosper.
Yes. Yeah. Did they change the restriction on, it used to only be for like fire, and did you guys change that so that it's broader?
We changed the wording. As soon as I can, I'll send it. I can send it. It's a public document now because it's been approved. So I can send it to you, but we broadened the types of crises that you could have. It still has to be a one-time crisis. It gives you examples of what it could be and what it can't be. So it can't be ongoing medical bills, but it can be a medical crisis. It could be funeral. So it did broaden it.
Can I ask a question on this topic? This is kind of a long shot, but Mandible Cafe, right before Christmas break, someone stole $3,000 out of their safe, and then they were closed for 2 weeks. So they're like really having a hard time making their payroll. They're getting fines and interest because their bills aren't paid. But they're not a Cornell entity. But they do feed us and give us coffee every day, and they're hugely popular.
The Cornell employees.
That's what I thought. There's no way.
I would think that they would have theft insurance that. Yeah.
I don't know. I just heard about it, and I know that it really, really hurt them and set them back. And I felt bad, and I was like, well, it's a long shot, but I'll ask.
Yeah, they wouldn't qualify. That's a bummer.
I wish I could help them. But
buy a lot of food.
Start buying money.
Start buying food then. That's all I have.
Any other old...
I just looked up my notes from our conversation with Mary.
I remembered something.
Which one did you remember?
I remembered the policy. Is that what you think?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. And I'm going to forget what we want to be. But we essentially, in our conversation with Mary, We talked about the university creating new policies and that impact statement. Yeah. That before they do something with the policy, they create an impact statement. And under the suggestion from Ari and Amy, when Leslie and I met with them, we asked that the EA be formally considered on all impact statements. So any policy that would impact employees at the university, we would be listed as a stakeholder and somehow involved in the conversation right from when it begins, as opposed to, you know, after it's happened or close to it being finalized. And she said, you know, that we haven't really been doing a lot of policies lately, but she thought that was great, and she suggested that we talk to
Lauren Jacoby.
She said they're doing more revisions of policies, but there are just way too many policies, and she's not promoting new ones.
But she thought it was great that we want to be invested in that way and be a stakeholder.
I believe the stakeholders have the same role in the revision as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's why she's trying to talk to Lauren.
So it would have been nice if we were automatically, I mean, I had to call her.
Right.
But if we were automatically on the cell phone policy, that affects employees mm-hmm. as a stakeholder.
The challenge is that, for example, that policy is not an HR right policy. And so we were talking with the HR person. It would be a matter of having to talk with each entity that creates policies.
Mm-hmm.
Unless we decide we want to write a resolution about that, and then it would get distributed more widely. But
mm-hmm.
it's hard to find all the places where those policies get written. I mean, procurement's an obvious place.
Mm-hmm.
We might be able to do some research on that just in looking at university policies and where most of them are coming from. Yeah. Some homework. Any other old business? Any other new business?
I actually just put that thing on new business.
Okay.
There you go.
There, new business. Okay. Anything else anybody wants to share? We did a lot of sharing at the beginning. Anybody else have anything else they want to share?
No. I just have a question.
Sure.
One of the girls in our business service center is moving to the new financial transaction center.
Mm-hmm.
Has anyone heard about this or?
Yeah, they're consolidating business service centers.
Well, I'm not surprised, but mm-hmm. it's actually starting to happen. I just know if there's anyone else.
Yeah, it's happened in engineering.
Yeah.
I think the deadline was December 31st for all of the plans for making them happen, and now they're implementing them. Because all of ours are happening.
All the plans. All the plans for business service centers? Or
all right, yes.
Or
I know we had, in SAS, we had a deadline of December 31st for how all the business service centers would be condensed into one. And so now they're starting this week. They're doing the actual physical move.
Ours was implemented in December.
So your entire business service center, or just like a few people out of it, or...
All of the business service centers for student and academic services have been combined into one.
Wow.
So we're all living into my
gymnast, dining, campus life.
Wow.
They were all separate.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're all one.
And in one place.
It's by the end of the month they'll be in one place.
So does that mean the business service?
I don't know. Does that mean our BSC is going to close completely and they're all?
I don't know.
Really scattered? I think so.
Or
No.
Not in so that nice area. Having them there. There were vacancies
that they kept open, but I'm not aware of them having any stuff. Yeah, so I know that they
are consolidating. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Adam, with IT. I haven't gotten noticed yet. If there's anything. Or not, I have to move to campus or replace a little job. I don't know. I'll let you know though.
Anything else? Any open forums? All right. We'll be done 16 minutes early.
Good meeting.
I'm open for a meeting.
All right. anyone want to second it? All right, David, second.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.